Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece, right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's going to be one today. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh, man, Corey Majors. I have to switch it up today. Because we have the famous Alec Medford, but joining us also right now, who knows for how long, the more famous and still agitating Mike Bassick, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey! You know?
What's up, Mike?
Miracles do happen.
They do.
There's one on ice in 1980, and now there's one in the studio in 2025.
You know, this is like when the Eagles got back together. Not the Philadelphia the Eagles, but the band.
So I guess hell did freeze over?
When hell freezes over, and Mike's here he is, so obviously hell's cold today.
So Carter's changed his look, huh?
That's Alec.
Are you talking? That was Aiden.
Oh, that was Aiden,
Mike.
He was here while you were here.
Really?
Aiden was here.
Aiden, good to see you again, brother.
Jeez. I'm amazed he remembers our names, so I wouldn't take it too personally. And then, Mike, can I repeat what you said right before we went on air?
Sure.
He said, hey, it's like old times. I don't know what the run sheet is.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
All right.
Mike. We're talking about Mike.
Mike. We're going to talk about the sports equinox right out of the gate. Are you familiar with the sports equinox, and what did you watch last night?
It's in the middle of the earth.
That is the God darn it. That is the equator.
Yeah, it's hotter there.
He didn't know the answer, so he guessed.
You're closer to the core.
That is the I don't think that part is right. That is the equator.
It's your Chevy. You're now, a big fan
that
of the equinox.
Actually
it's just a sporty
is
version of
an
it.
An equinox.
Part of a truck.
But this is a terrible idea. Well, first of all, tell everybody why you're here, and then
The Texas Rangers graciously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's good, the word. Good enough.
Yeah,
man,
close enough.
Things don't change, do they? Like,
they gave you guys three boxes worth of stuff for Peace-a-thon.
Yes.
So I didn't look in every box, but there seems to be quite a bit of, let's say, like your Dallas Cowboys / Texas Rangers jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Maybe your. Your Dallas Mavericks / Texas Rangers.
He wanted
jerseys.
A hug. I don't know if you can tell that. That's RJ Choppy hugging Mike Bassick right now. That was
this
lovely.
This is the first time we've seen each other, I think, since February.
Has it been that long?
Talk on the mic, RJ.
Yeah, so
has it been that long?
It's been that long. Here he is, Sean Sharif.
Well,
the controller of the station.
You in here to praise the Cowboys?
Heck yeah, man.
Or the Mavericks.
They won three games already. And they tied one. Green Bay's only tied one game, and that's the Cowboys?
That's a good point. That's really. That is
true.
All
right, so back to the equator.
So they brought you a bunch
of
stuff.
Yeah, the Texas Rangers, they gave three boxes worth of stuff. I don't know exactly what's in all of it, but a lot of like the really cool giveaways, the jerseys, and then I said, you know those hats that they say the upside down letters?
Uh-huh.
So I was like, if you guys have any extra of those.
The Saxit hats.
So I think that there's going to be a lot of, there's going to be tons of cool fun stuff.
Yes.
But I know that the Rangers have generously donated, graciously, is now I can say that word.
And in case anybody's missed it along the way, our hints or anything like that, we're taking Peace-a-thon on the road for the first time ever, RJ.
Is this where we get a free day off so you guys can go do your show?
You get to show up for an hour.
For an hour.
Where?
In McKinney.
Well, we picked a place for you. We're going to be at RJ Duke's, though.
Oh,
you have to support RJ's.
I do have to support. I support all Ralph's and all RJ's.
Okay, so we're going to be at RJ Duke's in McKinney doing Peace-a-thon. First time ever on the road. We picked that place for you, RJ.
All right, I'll be there for 1 hour. You get 1 hour out of me.
Okay, fair enough.
Look at that.
Anything more
would be two.
Okay. All right, well, if you want to jump in on this, we were talking about the highs and lows of the sports equinox, and I think for most people, it probably starts and ends with, go ahead and give me cut number five, please.
Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the clock strikes me. Freeman has ended it. It's a repeat hero with the last word on a game three classic.
Kevin.
Did you make it all the way through?
You won't believe this. And when I say this, you're probably not going to believe me, but I'm telling the truth.
Are you going to tell me you didn't watch any of it?
No, I watched 17 and a half innings.
Oh, no!
You missed the walk-off. Because Shohei came up. They actually pitched to him, but they threw four straight balls. Then I watched Mookie fly out. Then I watched, Toronto had a chance to score. They didn't score. I didn't even mean to go to sleep. I think I closed my eyes, I fell asleep, and when I woke up, they were interviewing Shohei Ohtani. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I did 17 and a half innings. Like, literally, my body shut down, and I didn't go to bed. I was still in front of the television. My body fell asleep, and then I woke up, and they were talking to Shohei about he needs to go to sleep.
And then you just were like, well, obviously the Dodgers won.
Yeah, the Dodgers won, and then they showed the highlights. Like, the first batter of the 18th inning?
Jeez.
So that's, I missed it live.
Oh, my God. You missed it by one batter?
Yeah, I missed it by, I guess my body just, as Toronto didn't score, my body was like, just shut your eyes for a second. And then I woke up and they were interviewing Shohei. So I
to
almost
make it that
made
long.
It. I know.
That is the most sad version of this story, I think.
Yeah, I literally watched the whole game until the home run.
Was that first pitch of that bat?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Because, like, I wonder, like, at what inning do you, if you're leading off the inning, do you expect, like, first pitch fastball?
He's lefty on lefty there, so, you know, he's probably looking, like, if I get a first pitch fastball, I don't know the scouting report. I think it was Klein who was pitching.
Yeah.
I don't know his scouting report on what his, like, breaking ball to fastball variance is, especially against lefties, but he obviously got the pitch he could handle, and there were so many times, if you stayed up, that the Dodgers thought they hit home runs,
but
playing in L.A., once it gets late at night, and Will Smith, they were jumping out of the dugout, and he thought he had it. So it was one of the best games I ever watched. Not
except you missed it very
end. Not watching the end.
Almost a full game of no runs scored, yet it was still that intense.
Yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, Shohei, I mean, I will say this, he's now Michael Jordan. If you're old enough to watch Michael Jordan, you said, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. I guess Dr. J was close, but not really. And Magic and Larry are awesome. And then you just go, oh my gosh, I'm watching the greatest player of a sport ever. And Tom Brady, in a weird way, yes, can he be considered the greatest? But he didn't do anything super special except win seven titles and go to 10 Super Bowls. That's awesome. And he played till he was in his mid-40s. That's awesome. But when you watch Tom Brady, you didn't go, I am watching something I've never seen in my life. That was kind of more reserved for earlier Patrick Mahomes. Maybe when you first saw Brett Favre come on to the scene or John Elway, you're like, have I seen anything like this?
Lamar. So not in terms of just results, but like how they go about.
Tom Brady can be considered the greatest, and I'm cool with that. But when you watch Tom Brady, you didn't go, I've never seen anything like this in my life. When you're watching Shohei, you're like, I don't know. He hits like Barry Bonds, and he pitches like Justin Verlander. How is this happening?
Right, right.
Yeah, he had nine plate appearances. And he was on base every time.
Yeah, 9 for 9.
Every time he was on base, 5 walks.
That is freaking bananas.
I liked how their pitching coach came out on the 4th at bat to Shohei and gave him a scouting report, and the first pitch was a home run. And I was like, what a waste of time.
That is, you're like, what was that scouting report? He was like, yeah. Hey, just.
And I played with Pete Walker for a second in spring training, and I'm sure he came back and was like, okay, I gave him the plan.
Yeah.
And then first pitch, whack.
Do they add mound visits in the extra innings?
Yes. I think you get maybe. I don't know the real rule when you go 18 innings because of now the new regular season rules, but you do get an extra mound visit once you go to extra innings. But I don't know how many you get when you keep going extra innings.
Right, yeah. Right. I'm not sure either. Now, you were talking about, you said, almost a whole nother game without any runs.
Actually, it was a whole.
Yeah.
It was 9 innings.
The bullpens for these two teams, the Blue Jays, used 8 relievers over 12 and a third and threw 218 pitches. The Dodgers used 9 relievers over 13 and a third and threw 227 pitches. That is bananas.
What's amazing to me is, since I stayed up and watched, Dave Roberts in about the 15th inning, they did a quick interview, not live, but he's like, I'm going to have to pitch a position player if we get to the 18th. There's nothing I can do. The next inning, you see the interpreter talking to Mark Pryor, the pitching coach, and Yamamoto, who just threw a complete game, is like, I can do this. I can give you a couple innings.
In the 17th inning,
that's amazing.
He said, I will pitch. And in the 8th inning, he was warming up. So had they not scored, he was probably going to pitch the 19th.
Did you see after the game, they all celebrated out there with Freeman, but then Yamamoto was coming in from left field and Shohei and Roki ran out to him and they all jumped up and down together with the interpreters and everything. He was ready to rock if they needed to.
Would today have been his throw day?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, today would have been his bullpen day, but at this point,
it's a different time.
Like, sometimes you don't throw bullpens anymore because you've thrown, even though the Dodgers were like, who cares about the regular season? Just throw 40 innings, everybody, and then we'll win 90 plus games, and then we'll all be ready to kill everybody in the playoffs.
Although, I will say, man, this World Series has already been more competitive than I thought. I wonder if this will be a heartbreaking loss for Toronto that will essentially just wrap it up for Los Angeles, whereas, man, they could have gone in there, taken their game, and been back up 2-1.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to end in 5, even though I thought it was going to end in 5 before, but that was heartbreaking. They had a few opportunities. So did the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I look at it and go, now you have Shohei pitching tonight, which to me, that's must watch.
Yes.
You're watching Barry Bonds pitch, if you don't know. So
he's going, wild.
He's going to pitch. He's probably going to pitch like
6 innings.
Prime time Bob Gibson or something.
Right, right.
And he's going to hit too. So you get to still see him hit.
That's so crazy.
It's tough for the Blue Jays here. I don't know how they win tonight, but. You know, let's find out. Let's see what happens.
The one thing they have is they don't strike out much. That's their calling card. And Bieber can go, maybe give him 6. You need 6. You have to have 6.
Yeah, but
your bullpens have to be just freaking wiped.
Yeah.
And then Dave Roberts goes, I'm spent emotionally after the game. And then he goes, we've got a ball game later tonight, which is crazy.
Yeah, later tonight we get to play
that
again.
That is wild.
What do you think? Like, this was one of my favorite plays. Defensively, Toronto's very good.
Right.
What do you think of that throw from Vladdy over to third base?
I think you have to remember, he was a third baseman coming up. Now, he got kind of slow movement-wise, but he always had a good arm. He kind of slipped, but then, you know, luckily he threw a bullet, but luckily it was a long hop instead of that in-between hop.
Yeah.
That was a great play. Tommy Edmonds, even though he had a big error in the game before the Alejandro Kirk 4th inning homer, he makes a sliding play off of a ball off of Freddie Freeman's glove and throws a perfect strike to third base. Like, some people would say, why are you going there? Like, scoring was getting really tough as that game was progressing, and you had to make a perfect throw. There were relays to home that were really nice that you just put pressure. Like, if they make a good relay, hey, we're going to be out. If they screw this up at all or drop the ball at all, we're going to take the lead. And you got to give credit to a lot of defensive players. And then the pitching staffs on both sides, tremendous.
We're unbelievable. How much does the legend of Freddie Freeman grow as well? Because I know a lot of focus is on Shohei and how long the game was, and I get all of that. But once again,
Hall of Famer.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I agree
and,
with that.
And legendary to go on top of it, considering he had, what, 6 straight home runs in World Series games for that record, and then he adds this to it. Like, it's just, he's a legend, man. And a nice dude on top of it.
He really is. And then I wanted to throw out
the Mavericks.
Well, I was going to say we can talk about other sports unless you guys want to stick with the World Series here real quick.
You can do other sports.
Okay.
Mike talks about other sports all the time.
Yeah, I saw Marcus Mariota take a snap. I was like, oh, wait, Daniels isn't playing. I don't need to pay attention to this.
And for the first half, it was like confoundingly close, even though you're like, I think the Chiefs are going to dominate. They obviously dominated in the rest of it. I have a side question for you guys. Because yesterday during the sports equinox, when you had games for the NFL, Major League Baseball.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball, NBA, NHL, even MLS. A fan fell out of the stands at a Pittsburgh Penguins game, hit somebody in the next deck down, and has life-threatening injuries.
The person who fell or the person who got
hit? The person who fell.
It is terrifying.
It is terrifying. Sometimes I'm just a tiny bit surprised this doesn't happen more because the steepness of those steps, man, especially when you're looking down or walking down and looking down at it, I'm like, honestly, I'm not joking. I'm kind of surprised this doesn't happen more.
Look, there are certain places, older stadiums. Those older stadiums that have like the super steep second deck. How they don't have that, I don't know. We've seen this, though, at, like, baseball stadiums, like, where they'll fall into the netting. Some places have the net that would go from home plate all the way to the press box. Others don't. That is scary, though, like, how that happens and how it does happen more.
And I think it happened right before the game started. So, I'm not saying that person couldn't have been intoxicated, but that feels less likely than perhaps previous things we've seen where some dude falls in like the top of the eighth inning and you could tell they were stumbling around to begin with. So I'm not positive, but...
And people below are lucky they didn't get killed.
Yes, the person who fell on?
That's why when you said that, I was crazy. Like, I don't know how big the person was, but just like 150 to 250 pound person falling on you from...
Yeah,
That could hurt you /
kill you.
The person who got fallen on, they were offered to go to the hospital as well. They declined. So I'm hopeful or guessing that means they're just fine. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Hey,
before you go to break, I just want to say what's up to the YouTube. They're doing their own sports talk radio show. I was like, it's amazing. Like they, like, hey,
they don't stop.
Yeah.
The Twitch is saying hi, Mike.
All right, Twitch.
All right, Mike, RJ, what is your schedule? Do you need to go?
I'm going to stay for one more
second. Look at that. Okay.
One more Mike.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming back around and sticking through it. Coming up next, well, this segment just feels tailor-made for Mike Bacsik. What could we see from the Cowboys with only a week until the trade deadline? Or perhaps something else. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Shea in some late game situations. Now they've opted to double. Hartenstein, he turns away from the pass, drives and lays it in.
Smart play. Yes, it was.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, and we have Mike Bacsik with us for one more segment.
This is it.
So I wanted to go over something in particular that you've said to me before. I'll say it in the nice way.
Stop it, fart knocker.
You are a little bit perplexed by how this team is constructed for the Dallas Mavericks. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, and before the season started, it just doesn't make sense to me that you have right now healthy Anthony Davis at the end of his prime. Like, it's coming to a close.
Sure.
And Kyrie, we don't know if his prime is over after this injury, but he's near the end of his prime. Then you have an 18-year-old. You just look at Wimby. Wimby killed you in the first game.
Yep.
But that's year three, and now he looks like he might be an MVP candidate. Yeah. He looks like he might be able to carry a team. Let's just be optimistic about Cooper Flagg and look at whoever it is, Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, guys that kind of came out of high school, Kevin Garnett, all these guys that became really successful. LeBron's probably on the outside of that. He was pretty darn successful in year one.
And it's because Cooper Flagg did reclassify
he should
to
be
advance. He should have just graduated high school.
And he's not going to be ready to possibly carry a team until year three.
Right.
And you hope that that's the case. At that point, Anthony Davis and Kyrie's career are over, and this team doesn't make any sense on the court. So you're like, what are we doing?
Garnett's rookie year, 10.4, total rebounds 6, and 1.2 assists a game. By year four, it was 20, 10, and 4. Like in year three, it was 18. Like, he had, by that time, he turned into an NBA player.
Yeah. I mean, Clay, Clay's done. I wish he wasn't, but you know, he's a 15 minutes off the bench guy at this point. But I know that they kind of promised him starting and everything, and this team's weirdly constructed anyways. But I don't enjoy watching them play. I don't like saying that because you know how I kind of said I was back in and I haven't watched. I'm not telling you I've watched the 12 quarters of basketball, but I've watched enough to go, this
is actually 16.
Oh, they're 1-3. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm like, this isn't very fun to watch.
I thought
they look sloppy at times.
They
and that's
do.
Like the handling the ball, Kevin. I told you
yesterday was their best game from that perspective.
After three games, I was like, all right, what are their turnovers? And I was like, oh, only 20 in this game, and they won. And then there was 21 the game before, and I was like, well, game one there had to have been 45. There was only 16, but even still, they turn the ball over all the time. Anthony Davis takes shots that I'm like, did you even look to see if any of your teammates were around you? Or is this just the game plan is you get to do what you want and it's not really team ball?
Weirdly, he needs like Luka Doncic or LeBron James or somebody to create the shot somewhat for him, not completely for him, but
to give him the space to do it.
At this point, I definitely agree.
And he's not a guy. The other thing, too, is they haven't really played a close game where the last 3 minutes it's been like a 2 or 3 point
game. Yesterday was one of those games.
Because they turned it into a close game. At one point, like they were down, what, they went 90 on, something to 69.
They went on an 18-2 run, and they turned, I think, an 18 or 19 point deficit that eventually got it to within one. And he was there on the court in the end.
And who did they go to down the stretch?
Oh, they did not go to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, too, is in these close games, Anthony Davis needs somebody to kind of create for him. Cooper Flagg isn't. I love that he's here. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. He's probably just at 18 years old, not ready to just take over the world of the NBA. It's going to take time. Klay Thompson's kind of finished.
Sure.
Kyrie is hurt for a while. So you don't really have anybody even. The last 5 minutes of a close game, the other team has to feel, in a way, good because they don't have the guy you give the ball to and say win the game. So when you're playing the Mavericks, you're kind of like, yeah, they have talent out there, but they don't have a guy.
Yeah, you're right. I thought yesterday was because they had Anthony Davis and then D'Angelo Russell hit the shot to bring it back to within one. But then the issue that you run into after that is D'Angelo Russell misses a three-pointer and then the game essentially was over. Yesterday was the best game that the Mavericks have played, even outside of the game that they won. Their defense looked significantly better. And to your point, Corey, they did not turn the ball over, but they shot not well.
There was a stretch, though, right out of halftime where Shea was getting whatever he wanted. Like, he went to the bucket over, and there was PJ covering him. There was a flag covering him. Everybody that was on him couldn't stop him from getting what he wanted. And he wasn't even getting the foul calls. That was the frustrating part about it, too. It was like he just got to the basket and put it in every time. And that was when you're talking about the defense, those spells have to be less. They got to reduce those.
I mean, I get that, but his only free throws, or I guess his first free throws, came like in the final minute.
Yeah.
So I thought their defense looked really good, but when you're talking about the offensive either A, creation, or ability to make the shots, it was largely non-existent in the first three quarters.
So I'm first-time caller here. Do you think Nico, if this keeps going this way, I get that they're not going to go 1-3 every right. four games, but that they kind of play a little bit under 500, you get to mid-January. Do you think that he will possibly go, this thing needs to be built around Cooper Flagg? I need guys that 3-4 years from now, if Cooper Flagg's going to be an MVP candidate 3 to 5 years down the road, I need a team that kind of will be somewhat around when he's turning into the stud you hope he turns into.
That's a great question because he's given us so many mixed signals since he made the trade with Luka.
Right.
The mixed signals are, I need to win now. I might not be here more than two more years after this.
But also
fortune favors the bold, and we're trying to build a winner for right now. He keeps talking about right now. So I would assume that he's not thinking about that future at all. He's saying this young player is learning and going to fill in with these veterans, but I'm riding with these veterans and hoping they get a champion.
Can I just say, I agree. That's what I think they're going to do. I'm not saying I think that's what they should do, but I think they're going to stay the course.
Then follow up question. Why not trade Cooper Flagg?
Yeah, and I hate that idea. But then you would say, you would hypothesize, if you're trying to win now, why not trade one of the most valuable assets in the league to load up on veteran players? That is still sometimes in the back of my mind, and that gives me nightmares. Please don't put that on us.
Yeah. I think that would be a huge mistake at this point, bigger than even trading Luka. But I wouldn't put it past Nico to be like, I'm all in on Team Nike, my guys. Yeah. And I know that Kyrie isn't Nike guy anymore, but like he's just like, who's Nike guys that I signed in 2008?
Yeah, you know? I would hate
trade
him
for picks
so much.
You want more picks?
Well, I don't think Nico cares about picks. I would, if I were Nico Harrison, and then you could chant fire Mike, is I would look at this team, and I would have looked at it in the off season and gone, sure, this team doesn't make sense.
Right.
I love that I got Cooper Flagg. This is amazing.
So let's go in that direction.
Yeah, I can kind of start over here and rebuild a team around a guy that hopefully in 2027, 28 turns into an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a weird team because Cooper can't help you win a championship probably this year or next year or anywhere close. And then by the time Cooper can help you win a championship and possibly lead a team,
the other two
guys that are supposed to be your main guys are finished as like star players in the league.
And it's only four games in, but you've already started to see some of the worst fears of this team come true. First of all, how you take Cooper out of the game when you run him consistently at point. But probably more importantly, yesterday, still no Daniel Gafford, and now no Derek Lively. He missed the game. I realize it's a back-to-back because of a right knee contusion. And so I think that's the concern that we've all had all along, is that this plan that you have is a good plan if these people stay healthy, but you're banking on players that unfortunately don't stay healthy.
Yeah. And how do you feel about Max Christie, though?
I was excited to see Max Christie out there. Look,
liked a little bit of what he's done.
Max Christie, Najee Marshall. I know Caleb Martin didn't get as much run yesterday. Those are the players I want to see more of, especially since Quentin Grimes continues to do things that, like, hey, don't forget about that trade. Not looking too great.
Or Dwight Powell.
No, not that for sure.
Yeah, I thought that. I was like, oh, God. I thought when they were retiring somebody's jersey yesterday, they're going to retire current player Dwight Powell.
How much do you like that, though, for Mark Aguirre?
That's cool, but...
And deserved.
I would say so, too. It's just that I think that it's kind of PR-ish from the ownership to try to be like, remember...
you know, like Mark Aguirre, don't remember.
That is exactly.
Forget about that Luka thing. Yeah.
That is exactly what Corey brought up yesterday. And it's one of the things where you did the right thing, but maybe not for the right reason.
Yeah.
And I will certainly concede that. But like, I was thinking about it. He's, with all due respect, I love Brad Davis, but he's second behind Rolando Blackman to me from that era of people who should have their jerseys retired.
Yeah, I want to say three-time All-Star with the Mavs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It might be four, but yeah. I mean, he was the first best player for the Mavs, and Roe was right there with him. It was a combo type of situation, and good for Mark Aguirre. It's awesome for Mark Aguirre. Good for the organization, but, you know, I will say this too, on opening night, it still hurts, and I can't get over. I just don't know about you guys. I can't get over that they ran Dirk out of the organization.
The fact that he was still going to go be at the Lakers game to support Luka and stuff like that, it is.
That hurts.
It's so disappointing.
I hate saying this because obviously the Mavericks will probably be here for a long time.
Yes.
Is Dirk's the Dallas Mavericks.
I agree.
That's tough. Most organizations don't have that. Because they either have better history, longer history, but you could just change it to the Dallas Dirk Nowitzkis and I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because that's really who they are, and they ran off that guy.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. That is crushingly sad, I think, to all Mavs fans. Now, I've seen a couple people text in what they really want to know. Are you still into wrestling?
I went to the WWE event a couple weeks ago for the first time ever.
You went to Raw.
That was my first time ever to go.
Did you have fun?
Yes, I took my three nephews. They had a blast. My wife isn't into it at all. My kids aren't into it at all, so I have my nephews into it.
Your wife didn't go, though, right?
No.
Okay,
No. But, yeah, it was very cool. It's entertaining. I'd love to tell you that, man, I'm keeping up with Monday Night Raw's War.
Right.
And Thursday night showdown.
That's none of that is right. That's not even the right day.
No,
did
I like that one.
Did you make a funny joke forever about WrestlePalooza and then they actually did it?
Yeah, the WrestleFest and all all these new names, and here they are. They're like, Corey's on to something.
So I haven't been following it as closely as, let's say, January, February, March Mike was.
Yeah.
But I'm following it enough.
Okay. Is Penta still your guy? Do you have other
things? I did like when Penta came out in the triple tag team.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Okay. I'm glad that you're still enjoying that.
Yeah. So I do like wrestling, but you know what? I like you guys.
How's all the baseball?
It's nice.
Yeah, it's happening, man. I mean, there's a game tonight.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to be back in the World Series soon? Okay. All right. We got a chance, though, is what I'm hearing.
I can't wait to hear what he says once we go to commercial break.
I miss you guys.
We miss you too, Mike. We've joked that we think you Tolo more now than when you worked here.
You guys are like brothers to me.
Hell yeah.
Except we don't really communicate as much.
We talk like every week.
Yeah, we do.
How much do you need to talk?
And Alec, he's not even, I didn't even know if he knew I was coming up here, but he didn't wear one of those upside down letter hats.
I was ill prepared, Mike. Yeah. I should have.
Was it hard for you when you had to sell those on the broadcast?
I heard you and I was laughing the whole time. I was like, this is like, great.
You know, you even make these hats cooler if you turn the letters right side up and put them in the right order.
I wished I could have been there the days they handed you the copy and you were like, oh, crap.
Well, we're getting close.
Okay.
To the Rangers.
Okay.
Playing again.
We're really not.
Once baseball season is over, we're getting close.
All right. And you have an open invitation. I know your driving radius is very small. You have an open invitation to join us for
Peace-a-thon. But you're moving to Oklahoma soon, right?
No, it's literally like 5 minutes up the road.
It's like that 6:35, right?
Yes. That's not that forever. Far. It's even on this side of 6:35.
His driving radius is very small. I was going to say you have an open invitation to come to RJ Duke's for Peace-a-thon.
Okay.
So we would love to see there, but again,
I love the Dukes.
I know that's more than 15 minutes away, so we'll see.
All right. Well, hey,
and bring one of those pies, the pecan pie that you made last year.
Don't burn it this time.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done. You guys have ran me off again. I'll see you next February or something.
There you go, Mike Masick.
Hey guys,
I was gonna crunch some chips.
Thanks for saying hi to me all the time, and it's been awesome.
Okay.
Is that how you close it off?
Yeah, you did great. We'll see you again very soon. Coming up next.
Do you feel like for the first time in a while that you were able to take a load off?
It does feel like the first
time. Do people chant take a load off at Taco Bueno?
All the time.
I should have worn that shirt. Yes, that comes up a lot. And you know what you'll be most proud of? People text in all the time. They're like, Kevin, you seem stressed. All you need to do is take a load off. Yeah. It'll be fine.
He's been here for two segments and we're already way off clock.
Kevin. Thanks a lot, Mike. Coming up next.
That's what I was trying to do.
It's baseball nuggets.
What?
Why can't this Shohei series get made next on The Fan?
Ohtani. Oh, and a center cut fastball. Blast one. Ohtani just Shohei. 5-5.
Right now, brought to you by Mike Bassick. It is time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, we talked a whole lot about Game 3 of the World Series, 6-5 in favor of the Dodgers. Shohei goes 4-for-4 and has also walked 5 times. So he got on base 9 times, which, like, that is insane. But I wanted to talk about another aspect of Shohei.
I think Mookie Betts was 1-for-8.
All right, let me ask you this then. Would you rather have been on base all 9 times or go 1-for-8 like Mookie Betts and win the 2025 Roberto Clemente Award? Hey,
be
Mookie
on base
Betts
all
had
nine
a walk
times.
Too.
Be on base on all 9 times.
Oh, man.
Dude, that's an awesome night right there.
It's one of the greatest we've ever seen.
And like, that's the... You go home that night, and if you lose, Kevin, you do the whole thing where you walk in the clubhouse and you just look at everybody and go,
"Yeah,
not my problem."
Yeah,
but like that's one of those that I don't. That's the other thing, though, Kevin. Does he look back in 10 years on his career and go, "Man, that night in the World Series"?
I think,
or does he go, "Remember those 3 home runs I hit and also struck out 10?"
I think it's both, but I bet if you asked him about it now, he'd be like, "Who cares? We have a game in like 9.
I got to win another World Series here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I came here to be the best.
But I did want to shout out Mookie Betts as well because he won the award, the Clemente Award, which is given to the player who best represents the game of baseball through extraordinary character, community involvement, philanthropy, and positive contributions on and off the field. So huge honor as well. So this could potentially be one of the greatest weeks of his life as well. Maybe win another World Series and the Clemente Award. But I wanted to talk about another aspect of Shohei that I found to be really interesting. Did you know that the production company or the studio Lionsgate has put together a scripted series about the gambling scandal with Shohei Ohtani and Mitsuhara? And so what I think is really interesting about this is there is a report in the Hollywood Reporter, I guess I should have said a story, that Lionsgate, which is the studio owned by Starz, is having trouble selling the series to companies like Disney, Apple, Warner Brothers, Netflix. Why?
drama.
Why else?
They like gambling.
Those are the companies that are trying to get further into the baseball business.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Major League Baseball. So Netflix, like, they've dipped their toe in there. Obviously, we've talked a lot about what Apple does. But there's a thought with this story, because all of those groups will soon have Major League Baseball media rights. There is a thought that none of these studios want to buy it, either A, because MLB told them not to, or B, they're worried about, like, besmirching the best player in the game's name. Yeah,
so you think they would, after, if let's say MLB is like, no, we don't want to work with Apple.
Right.
That Apple go, all right, let's go ahead and green light that sucker.
I kind of do, but I wonder, what's the expiration date on that?
Good question.
Because, like, if this show came out tomorrow, wouldn't you be kind of interested, especially because there'd probably be some dramatic licenses?
Didn't you think it was brilliant that they did the Messi documentary when they signed the deal to get MLS on Apple?
Absolutely. And I thought it was the exact same thing with the Vince McMahon documentary for Netflix. It wasn't really about Vince McMahon as much as it was
content that was relatable to people that were now joining that platform. And
yes, it was the Vince McMahon WWE. So it kind of felt like a primer. Same thing with Messi. Like, hey, here's the history if you wanted to catch up. And so I could see how none of these networks or streaming services want to have a scripted story that maybe says that Shohei was involved. I know there are plenty of people who still to this day think Shohei was involved. So I just thought that was really interesting that they can't sell it right now because all of those places are like,
dude,
go somewhere else.
I was watching a video on TikTok yesterday, and it was a former bookie. And he was talking about how some of his bookies, like this bookie over here, has a guy who's in for $20,000. He owes me. He's an NFL player. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? Don't go after him now. Wait till he's $250,000 into you.
Yeah.
Then bring him to me. Then let me work him over. And I'm going to have him working for me on the field. And that's where, Kevin, it starts to get like, these players, we're seeing it with the NBA, as you're talking about there with Shohei.
That's scary.
You got to be smart before you make those moves, man. That is terrifying.
Yeah, it really is. All right, let's go to some other baseball things. I was going to go back to the World Series, but let's go to some other things. All right, so longtime Astros pitching coach Bill Murphy is leaving for the Pirates, perhaps because he knows how good Paul Skeens is and he can take some of that success. And I don't actually think that's the reason. And then I want to go to Bryce Harper. You remember, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that Dave Dombrowski was kind of questioning whether or not Bryce Harper could still be an elite player. Or there might have been some illusions and they still wanted to be an elite player. Well, Bryce Harper responded and he said, I've given my all to Philly from the start. Now there's trade talk. I made every effort to avoid this. It's all I heard in DC with the Nationals. I hated it and it makes me feel uncomfortable. And then he added, it's disappointing to hear me being questioned about my contribution to the team. That I go back and I'm not the biggest Bryce Harper fan in the world, but that does still seem like a really weird thing to say about one of, if not certainly, your best player.
Yeah, he's a really good baseball player. Like, he's a really good baseball player. You don't want him as a Ranger because you can't win a World Series.
Fact.
But would you take him as a Ranger?
No. Can't win the World Series. Oh,
come on!
I'm just kidding. Yeah, because he's a quality player.
I do wonder. I think he's just at that level, Kevin.
Yeah.
Where he'll always be in the conversation for trade.
Yeah.
He's not an untouchable guy. And obviously being in Philly is a place where your leash is very short anyway.
Sure. And I go back to it and, like, even if that's what you think, why in the world would you, like, I mean, I'll use the Nico example, although I know people would be like, why in the world would you trade Luca? But, like, if he came out and he goes, oh, you know, Anthony Davis, just not elite anymore. That's what we thought we were trading for. Just disappointing that he's not. He's still on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you do that? And yet, here we are. And then I want to go back for just a second. I don't know if it would have changed the outcome, if it would have not gone to extra innings or anything like that. But did you see Bo Bichette in the pickoff play because of the preposterous call that the umpire made. It was 3-1. Now, some people think he made the call late. I didn't think the call was as late as I thought. It was absurd because it was clearly ball four. All right, Alex, so you definitely saw the specific play. It was clearly ball four. So Bo Bichette is going to like start sauntering on down to second base. And then he pauses because he's like, wait, did you say strike? And then he gets picked off because he's dumbfounded by the idiocy of that call.
That was one of the worst things that could have possibly happened in the World Series of all platforms, because you got to be straightforward with that. Like, you got to be demonstrative with your calls, but you got to be good with your calls too. That was even with his chin. Like, yeah, that was
terrible. It would have been
fastball.
A walk. It was 3-1, would have been a walk. So instead of having runners on first and second, now you're both, that one's out, and then you push the full count. And I was just like, what the hell?
You know what I hate about that, too? Because as you just said, that's chin high. That's unacceptable in the World Series. There was a moment, Kevin, where...
there is... What is that, an aardvark? Like eating a cantaloupe or I don't know what. It's just like a little chunk. So
okay, Will Smith.
I pointed that to Corey
and it distracted
to look at,
me because he's distracted.
And then it worked.
Will Smith check swings. And I was like, man, that's a close call. And the umpire at first base gets it right immediately. And I was like, that's because this is the World Series. They got the best out there. And then something like that happens. They're human, though, Kevin.
Yeah.
This happens sometimes.
I guess. But, man, at the biggest stage,
give us the robots.
That felt like a very powerful, maybe it was a piece of an avocado. I don't know what's happening over there. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
I thought they liked ants.
Right here. On 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, and who knows what else on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way! You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.